Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, welcome in to the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, David Janes here with you on this Tuesday morning. Nick Keyser running a little behind this morning. He'll be along shortly, so we'll get Nick's thoughts on why he can't show up to work on time. Isn't that right, David Janes?
Exactly. I would like to know what happened.
I would too. We got to get to the bottom of this. Did he not set the alarm? That was the early morning wake-up call just too much for him this morning? Who knows? Joe Rexroad, live from Indianapolis. How are we doing? What's going on?
I mean, I got 9 minutes of sleep last night. I've been shoveling like egg after egg into myself to function today, and Nick can't show up to work? My goodness.
It really is incredibly disappointing. We'll have to get to the bottom of it when Nick Keyser, I assume he'll be here at some point today. We'll have to figure out what happens. But David Janes filling in the meantime. Joe Rexroad, how was day one of the NFL Combine for you up there in Indianapolis?
Well, yeah, I mean, nothing happened yesterday, but for you know, except we had the Athletic had a lot of meetings and whatnot. So good to see a lot of people, you know. Good to catch up, things like that.
Yeah.
You see all the NFL media walking around town. I'm trying to think of anything remotely interesting. I know now that it was, I know who leaked the S2 score on CJ Stroud.
Really?
Who would you guess?
My guess would be the Houston Texans.
I think that's a good guess. That's kind of been how I've thinking about it. I know Jared has been big on it. It was the Titans, right?
Yeah.
But I believe it was the Carolina Panthers.
Really?
And considering you think about like the insecure debaggery that clouds that franchise, it kind of makes sense.
Well, it kind of does.
Yes. I mean, they're taking Bryce Young, so if the other QBs can look bad, great for them. Unfortunately for them, we saw everybody play football last year.
Unfortunately for them, we did. We saw everybody play football. We saw everybody handle ownership of a team probably significantly better than David Tepper did. So not great. Not coming up roses for the Carolina Panthers. I guess it makes sense when I think about it.
Yeah, I mean, it does. I hadn't really thought about that angle. I was thinking more along the lines of a team that would want him, right? But it's kind of like the Levis stuff last year. I don't know for a fact, but I know people believe that some of the stuff that was circulating was from agents of other quarterbacks trying to, you know, to downgrade him, make him look bad, et cetera. That's the type of stuff that happens. Zach Kiefer wrote a really good story for us in The Athletic about the S2 and that whole situation. And, it really is. I actually was glad to read the comments of some personnel people. Like, it really is just pathetic. You know what I mean? Just for one thing, it's not even – it's the whole situation was messed up. And we've talked about it. That wasn't really his score, but it was like one of those days where it's like, you know, oh, I have to do this crap. Like imagine if you were in this process. Now, you know, if you were in this process, anybody should be very thankful to be in this process, right? Because it means you're about to be paid a lot of money to play football. But like the stuff that they put these guys through daily, it's just all over the place. And then it's like at the end of a day, by the way, how about you have a seat there? I'm going to give you a laptop. And how about an hour, 45 minutes to an hour of weird tests of your brain? How's that sound? Sound good?
Sounds like a great time.
You know, it's one of those things, too. I really believe, you know, at the time, I mean, the S2 thing blew up last year. But, I mean, if you're him, you probably have no idea that anyone would give a crap about this. And all of a sudden, it becomes this huge story in the league. So, Pretty pathetic, but there's a lot of pathetic people in the NFL.
Well, and it's, you know, I don't know if it's going to happen exactly like that, but there will be misinformation of some kind in this year's draft process that gets disseminated from either agents or teams or a combination of the two as it relates to, I'm sure, one of these quarterbacks coming up or, you know, oh my, did you guys see, you know, Rome Odunze, he showed up late to Shoney's when we were having our draft meeting with him over there. Can't take it. I mean, there'll be some of that stuff flying around at this year's draft too, particularly when you have, by what most consider, you know, top 10, a top 15 of really, really good players in the top of the first round. You're going to hear some of that starting basically from now until the NFL draft begins.
Yes. No, of course. And by the way, if it's Shoney's, that sounds like something that the Carolina Panthers would also do. But yeah,
it does.
You expect a fair amount of misinformation. This is just a weird one because it's one of those things where it's like, all, I suppose this happened the past year, right? Didn't Vince Young's Wonderlic just, wasn't it just terrible or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
And like quarterbacks over the years that have had really bad Wonderlics, that became a thing. But the Wonderlic is so stupid. Like, who gives a crap? You know, like two, you know, trains going, you know, 30 miles an hour from, you know, Chattanooga. Like, what?
Yeah.
What the hell does this have to do with anything? This test is good. It is helpful. It's one test. They're all just one test. You know, football is, how you play football is 90% of it. But measuring your measurables, both, you know, physically and mentally, I think, you know, there's some value in it.
I say this every year because obviously if you're a team drafting, especially a quarterback this high in a draft, you want to exhaust every possible piece of information that you possibly can to make your best educated guess of selecting your guy and hoping that your guy is going to be the one that is your franchise quarterback for years to come. I do think, and it's not just at quarterback, but I do think it happens a lot. There's so much information that I almost wonder if there's too much information at times. Like if teams start overthinking things that they have no business overthinking when it comes to evaluating these draft prospects, particularly at quarterback.
Yeah, and you, I'd love to know, you know, just like the differences in the buildings, you know, in terms of how much emphasis on this, how much time on this. I mean, you know, the team that we talked about before, but the Rams, right? Like,
yeah,
they have like no one here. They're like, yeah, okay, good luck. And I mean, based on their last draft class, of course, they haven't had any draft picks. You know, they just give away their draft picks, and they, you know, they got a Super Bowl out of it. But based on their last draft class, it seems like they're okay. I mean, obviously, yeah, they have people here. They're doing interviews. But like McVay, yeah, no thanks, I'm good.
Whatever it's their really formula is, appears to be pretty good, you know?
Yeah. And then it's funny because we were having this conversation last night, too. It's like you think about how, you know, inexact this is, how many mistakes are made, how much investment is put into this. And they still screw this up so often. And look, think about the the differences in teams. So Brian Callahan, who we'll talk today for the Titans, comes from Cincinnati, where they just have a tiny staff. Like, it's like a handful of people.
Yeah.
And then other teams have just scouts all over, you know, for the most part, that's the model, you know. And yeah, obviously some teams have more analytics people than others, and how much is analytics now in this? You know, it's not just game stuff, but a wide range of investment. But that, you think about how the Bengals have drafted. You know, and look, sometimes it's obvious. Yeah, take Joe Burrow and, you know, either Jamar Chase or Penei Sewell. Which one do you like better, you know?
Yeah.
But still, like, they've done fine with a tiny staff. And other teams absolutely have an army doing this stuff.
Well, and I said that, you know, when Callahan was hired, that's actually one of the things that makes me feel really good about him. When you start to talk about the draft process, like, we know how important this draft is for the Titans. And, yes, it's on Rand Carthon. He's got to make sure that he's picking the right players, and this is going to be viewed as, quote-unquote, his draft. But I do think, you know, having Callahan around, who was a part of doing some scouting and being involved in the draft process with Zach Taylor and that staff that you just mentioned, I mean, that can only be a good thing and a kind of a feather in your cap to have, getting Bill Callahan's thoughts on linemen. Like, the staff that they've put together should be a weapon for Rand Carthon as he goes through this evaluation process. I mean, time will tell whether or not they make the right decisions and if things work out. But on the surface, like, if I'm a Titans fan, I feel pretty good about the draft evaluation part of this, given the pieces that are now in place around this whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably an underrated aspect of of the Callahan experience to hear. So, you know, it should be. I mean, there's certainly a guy who had a lot of input, and I also wouldn't necessarily, you know, read too much into, because the Titans may well have a situation, right, where they're looking at a receiver or a lineman, yep. But they're not going to have Marvin Harrison Jr. or a lineman. That would be the comp to chase.
Well, he's not running at the combine, Joe, you know.
Yeah. Could, yeah, well, okay.
Could slide down the board a bit.
Yeah, that might cost him big, I tell you. Yeah, it's funny because, this is the time of year, of course, when everybody throws up the film clips. And, man, that guy – these other guys are really good. Like, I think Adunze, a neighbor's really good, but Marvin Harrison, when he puts someone in a blender, it's something else, along with everything else that he does. But like, his feet off the line are unbelievable.
Yeah. I feel pretty confident he's going to be a pretty good player in the NFL. I mean, you can never predict injury and things like that, but feel pretty confident that guy's going to be pretty good, and he's going to be a pretty nice weapon for a quarterback wherever he ends up going. 615-737-1025 is our number. We're off and running today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Caroline Fenton will join us at 7 o'clock, as she does for her weekly visits on Tuesdays. We're going to get hot and heavy into the Predators at 8 o'clock. They got a big game tonight against the Ottawa Senators. Looking forward to that. Coming up next, we'll continue the conversation on the NFL Combine. Joe Rex Road live from Indianapolis. Who do the Titans most stand to benefit from having an excellent combine and getting that chatter started? I'll tell you what I mean by that coming up next. We'll take your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, live from our Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, David Janes here with you on this Tuesday morning. NFL Combine going on live in Indianapolis. Joe Rexroad is out there. The stars are out there. Charles Robinson, Joe Rexroad, Corey Curtis will be there later today. It's a star-studded event up there in Indianapolis. We're taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, at 7 overall, the Titans are sitting in a pretty good spot as it relates to especially this draft. I mean, there's going to be what we presume as an elite player available to them at number 7 in some form or fashion. There are a couple of guys heading into the combine, which you know how much we love the combine here on the show. There are a couple of guys heading into this event that I do think, if they show out and look really good and the medicals come back good and the testing numbers are really good, I think it could help the Titans immensely. And it has nothing to do with two guys that they're going to take. Everybody presumes, like, heading into this, that it's going to be Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels as the top three quarterbacks taken, whether that's straight up 1-2-3 off the board or 1-2-4 and somebody moves around, who knows. But I think, Joe, if J.J. McCarthy of Michigan and even Michael Penix of Washington, if they show up to this thing and they test really well, and particularly in the case of Penix, like the medical reports come back good and teams are comfortable with where he's at medically, all those different things. If there's a more momentum started to be generated for at least one of those two guys at the quarterback position heading into the draft, that's a really good thing for the Titans, because if teams that are desperate and really want a quarterback start to get nervous that either a J.J. McCarthy or a Michael Penix would be gone by the time they pick, would they be more apt to move up? Would they be more apt either to trade with the Titans or to move up in front of the Titans to try to draft one of these guys? Like, I feel pretty good about three quarterbacks going before pick number 7, which is going to leave you with options to pick, you know, between really good players, maybe Joe Alt included. If there's a fourth that could somehow go before pick number 7 and somebody gets that quarterback needy, well, then if you're the Titans, you're sitting in a great spot at that point, just given the fact of who you might have to choose from after that. Because if you could have four quarterbacks going before you at number 7, and you know that Marvin Harrison Jr. is probably going before number 7 as well, well, all of a sudden, I mean, that leaves you basically one pick there before your pick of Joe Alt, Fashanu, Adunze, Bowers, you know, Neighbors. I mean, there's a lot of really good players that are going to be available to you at number seven, especially if that's the route it takes. So if I'm the Titans, I'm rooting for J.J. McCarthy and Michael Penix to look great at the NFL Combine this week.
Yeah, I think McCarthy is the more likely riser. It's interesting with Penix because you got to be careful about thinking that, like, as mock drafts progress, that they necessarily reflect reality. But, I mean, I'm not seeing a lot of people who have Penix even in the first round at all.
No, he's
at this point.
Top of the second for most that I've seen.
And, you know, I think, like, his medicals are important, but also, like, regardless, the history is what it is.
Right.
Right? So that's going to automatically just have some teams, you know, scared. I mean, look, I mean, he was fantastic last year. But, you know, that one, I don't know if he's going to – but you never know, though, because the quarterback needy teams can fall in love with somebody and then someone goes way higher than you would have thought.
Like Daniel Jones.
McCarthy's – what's that?
Like Daniel Jones.
Well, there you go. There you go. I mean, Mitch Trubisky, my goodness. McCarthy's really interesting, you know. I don't know what to think of him. He's a great athlete. He's got a big-time arm. He makes plays. He wins, you know, but, like, they were never built around him. He had the most physical team around him, the defense, the running game, you know, but – I could see it happening. I mean, even could a team, because you're right, like the Titans then could have their pick of those names that we always mention. But, like, is there a team that thinks, Atlanta, we love J.J. McCarthy, and, you know, Atlanta's going to take him at 8.
Right.
So we got to get to 7 and take him before they do. So then – now, I don't know if the Titans would want to do that. They may have their pick of, like, a premium player. I like the idea of getting a premium player, but that would be an interesting option if someone, you know, like, who could that be? I mean, that could be, let's say the Vikings at 11. Yeah. You know, the Vikings are like, all right, it's new era, and we're coming to get J.J. McCarthy.
Denver at 12, I think, could be another big option.
Yeah. You know, so then you're only moving down to, you know, you're only moving down a few spots, and maybe you're adding, you know, adding a third, which the Titans would love to have a third round pick, have another, you know, would love to have another top 100 pick for sure. So, yeah, I would say McCarthy for sure. I mean, if he lights it up here and looks great, and to me, he's an example of a guy who needs to do everything here and needs to excel. And, you know, I know. I mean, Harbaugh says he could go number one overall. So, you know, who's going to doubt Harbaugh?
Well, there is that. I mean, right now, there are three teams at the top of the draft that we know need quarterbacks. Chicago, Washington, and New England all need quarterbacks. At least I think New England needs a quarterback. We'll see what they do. Arizona, I mean, they're tweeting out photos of Kyler Murray yesterday and calling him their franchise quarterback. So I guess that they're keeping Kyler Murray, at least for now, at number four. We know the Chargers aren't drafting a quarterback. The Giants have signed Daniel Jones to that massive deal, so they're probably not drafting a quarterback. So if J.J. McCarthy does look really good at the combine and those other three are going to be the quarterbacks that are going 1, 2, 3, if you're a team that wants him, would you even have to trade up until you get to number 7 with the Titans, right? Like, are there you know, you don't have to worry about, like, Arizona. If Arizona's keeping Kyler Murray – well, then they make a whole lot of sense to just say, you know what, we'll grab Marvin Harrison Jr. at number 4. So the quarterback needy teams, at least at the top part of this, are all 1, 2, 3. And then the question is, who would be willing to jump up ahead of that if they loved a McCarthy? And could Atlanta get away with just sitting where they are and grabbing McCarthy at number 8 if that's the guy who they end up loving?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, like, are they worried about somebody trying to hop them? Getting that spot. The Giants, I still look at the Giants. You know, it's one of those teams that's kind of in between, you know, if they absolutely love the quarterback, but I think they have to. I think they have to do another year with Daniel Jones. Another guy who, so it's interesting as I just immerse myself in mock drafts, but obviously, you know, we had a beat writer mock draft where Brock Bowers went way low, you know.
It was like 15, wasn't it?
Yeah, and, you know, and so the college writers did one and he went way high. And that's the thing. I mean, he could be interesting for the Titans, you know, of course, but that's another guy who could push those guys down. If like, look, let's say Harbaugh loves Brock Bowers. I mean, Brock Bowers is a classic example of a guy who, like, a team could absolutely be like, yeah, like, you have to,
right.
He's too much of a difference maker. So I think he could be an interesting pick for the Titans, you know, not a need pick, but just a how do you pass him up pick. But also, could he be one of those guys who pushes down Alt and Adunze and Fashanu, et cetera, et cetera?
I got a texter that says, McCarthy is not a top 10 pick. He never sniffed 3,000 yards. Blake Corum was a bigger part of Michigan's success than he was. And don't forget, Trubisky threw for 3,700 yards, 30 touchdowns, and 6 picks his last year in college. This is from an unnamed texter on the text line.
Yeah, well, look, I understand. Trubisky was going to be a first-round pick. The Bears moving up to 2 to get him was the surprise, right?
Right.
I mean, that you know, and of course, ends up being, whoa, what a choice, while Patrick Mahomes goes 10. But again, at that point, Patrick Mahomes, all kinds of people question him. I'm not as down on McCarthy as that texter. You know, yes, they were physical, running team, all that stuff. But he's got talent. He's got, I think, starting quarterback talent. It's just, you know, like, it's the numbers are what they are because of what that team was. It doesn't mean he can't, you know, be something else in a different system, in an NFL system. It's. But then I watched, like, the Alabama game. They couldn't, you know, string anything together for most of the second half. It was just like, oh, my God, when they have to pass, they're screwed. But then at the end, he led that drive.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, so he's very interesting. But I just wouldn't put his production, you know, watch him play. I mean, he has a lot of talent.
Austin from Clarksville says, could the Jets look at J.J. McCarthy to learn from Aaron Rodgers? The Jets are picking at number 10. I think if they did that, that would be a big mistake. Like, to me, if you're still going with Rodgers, then just go with Rodgers and go all in with Rodgers and try to surround yourself with as good of a roster as you possibly can to get to the playoffs, number one, and then try to compete for a Super Bowl, number two. But I if I'm the Jets, I would not be wasting time trying to find my quarterback of the future when Aaron Rodgers is sitting right there and, you know, according to what he says, might want to play for a couple more years.
Yeah, I just don't see how you can. I mean, to me, that would just be a huge mistake. They have to get more good football players to help him. I mean, you know, that staff's job, their jobs depend on this season. And so you've got to support Aaron Rodgers. I don't see it. You know, the mistake that teams make is like, well, we need a quarterback, so I guess we'll take J.J. McCarthy because he's the last guy left, right?
Right.
Someone will do that. And again, then they'll say, oh, he was the number one quarterback on our board, blah, 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 you know. But like the Jets, you could flip it around and say, well, they don't need one, but they love him, so okay. But to me, it's like you have to be totally focused on just like probably one of those tackles. I mean, you know, like especially if these things happen, maybe a guy, you know, a Fashanu, an Alt, a Fuaga may fall to the Jets.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, what would be the scenario where you would be okay with the Titans trading out of the number 7 overall pick? We'll get into that. Take your thoughts on that on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Nick Kieser is back in the house. We'll catch up with him coming up next as well. Oh. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Nashville's best deal of the week is 312 Pizza Company. 312 Pizza Company serves the best pizza in town, as well as Chicago-style eats like Chicago dogs, Italian beef sandwiches, and more. Get half off a $30 gift card to 312 Pizza Company at thegamenashville.com/deals while supplies last. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road. Nick Kieser with us now on the program. Nick, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Wish I had multiple alarms. Just had one this time. That's my fault. Sorry,
you need
guys.
More than one? You have more than one alarm guy?
I usually do three. Yeah. Wow.
So what's the process okay. like? Like the so one wakes the you up?
Two? What, Joe?
What happened to the other two?
Well, the time that I was late when PK was in, I had, this is the second time, and about, what, Joe, about a month, right?
I can't keep track. We need a board. We need to start writing down the dates.
It's only twice. I know that. But, yeah, I don't know why. Just I have no real explanation other than I had one. I typically have a couple, and I'm usually up and out of the door in 15 minutes. It doesn't take me very long. But
so tell me, like, the first alarm goes off, and you're like, okay, that's the first one. And you just sit there for a second, and then the second one goes off?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Usually it's about a 2 to 3 minute gap. Okay. Usually.
All right.
Yeah.
So they weren't set, or someone stole them?
No, I just didn't set my second one. And then by the time I got my third one, David called, and I was like, oh no, I'm going to be late.
So the third one is like the nuclear.
I got that. I got that.
God, wake up.
I got that and a phone call. So there you go. Those usually coincide. So yeah. Yeah.
So you have a third alarm that won't help you be on time. Am I hearing this correctly?
It's the one that I turn off.
By the way, you blew it. Beep, beep.
Yes. That is true. I would not lie to you. Yeah. It's one that tells me if you don't go now, you're absolutely screwed. Because I only missed, 20 minutes?
Yeah.
So
thereabouts. Welcome to the program, Nick. It's good to have you.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
It's good to have you.
As punishment, you have to actually listen to the program today.
Yeah, you do.
I've been listening.
The whole time. Every second. 615-737-1025, our phone number. So, Joe, you've mentioned the options behind the Titans right now. Atlanta could be in need of a quarterback. You know, Minnesota potentially could be in need of a quarterback. Denver certainly needs one. Vegas needs one. And maybe some of these get answered in free agency before the draft actually gets here and the equation changes. But if you're the Titans sitting there at number 7, I've said this, it's going to take a lot, and I mean a lot, for me to consider moving out of number 7 and trading back if I'm the Titans. And I know they need more picks. There's no question about it. This is not a good year to not have a third-round pick. They need as many picks as they can possibly get. So I understand all that. They also need elite players. And when you're at number 7 overall, that's a prime opportunity to grab an elite player. And those opportunities don't come around every year. So if I'm the Titans and I'm trading back, it's going to take a haul to get me in order to do that. I guess my question to you is, what would need to happen? You know, and without going into specifics of like which specific team it was, what gets you to really stop and consider moving back if you're Rand Carthon and the Titans, given the fact that at number 7, if you hang around there, you're going to have an opportunity to select what you believe is an elite player?
Yeah, I mean, I think the answer is kind of in information we don't have, which is like how they rate the overall board, you know? Because I'm with you. I mean, to me, it's like, okay, you know, there's 11 guys that we consider, you know, whatever you want to call it, premium players, you know, can't miss, elite, whatever that is. If you could, like the scenario we talked about a little while ago, like if you could move down just 3-4 spots and still be in play for one of those guys, still have feel good about getting one of them, and then you add a pick, you know, a prominent pick. I mean, I think that's a great scenario. But even with that, it's like, okay, but is it, let's just say it's Alt, you know? Is it like Alt is absolutely home run across the board, full belief in him, he plug and play, and he's your guy. And then it's like, well, we really like Fuaga too, and he'd be pretty good, you know. Then maybe that drop of 3-4 spots is just not worth it, you know. So it's a tough. I certainly would not be entertaining offers from, you know, teams that are way down.
No,
I just, you know, but again, that's also still. I say that, but then it's like, well, actually, after, you know. You know, after Alt, let's say Alt goes, and after him, we actually have like Fashan Ufuaga, some of these other, there's a bunch of tackles that draft like pretty close to each other. So we could get one at, you know, I'm trying to look at the board. Who could it be? Like who later in the draft might want to jump up? What about like the Rams? You know, I mean, I don't think so, but, you know, you got the Steelers at 20, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like The kid from Houston, some people really, really like him. Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma, some people like him. I mean, if you're already going to miss on, like, say you have one tackle above everybody, you know, the bottom line is I could go through all these different iterations. It's just so much about your board. But I'm with you. Like, if you have a chance to get what you think is going to be an elite player in the NFL, and there just aren't many chances every year in the draft. We know, of course, elite players come out of nowhere in the fourth round or whatever. But, you know, based on your evaluations, I think it'd be really hard to move out of there if you're not going to get one by moving down.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the value of getting more picks certainly is good. But I think when you weigh the value of an additional third-round pick, or even let's say somebody got really desperate and they moved up and they offered you, you know, to pick swap in the first round and then gave you like an additional second round pick. I mean, that's a pretty sweet deal, especially if you were moving back like four or five spots. But like, how do you weigh that deal versus the players that you have on your board? Like, if you love, let's say even if Alt's gone, but you love Rome Odunze. Like, I would still be more for the Titans at that point, probably sticking at number seven and taking Rome Odunze at number seven if you believe that he's that good of a player at the NFL level. I just think the quality of player that you have an opportunity to select at number seven is making it really difficult for me to envision the scenario where they trade back out of it. Normally, like in the draft, Joe, for the most part, I'm more than willing to trade because I think, you know, mostly, you know, the Titans have been picking at, you know, 10, 12, 19 when they were good in the 20s. And if you have an opportunity to trade back and get more picks at that point, then generally speaking, I'm all for it. This year, I would be really hesitant to do it. And I think, you know, I can't speak for Rand Carthon, but I think he'll be probably pretty hesitant to do it given the players that will be on the board at number seven.
Yeah. I mean, based on what we think these guys are going to get evaluated at, you know, look, sometimes teams just have totally different. We were talking last night about the Mike Mayock experience with the Raiders, you know, Just like Cleveland Farrell. What? And at times I was like, well, I don't know, man. Mayock pretty good on TV. Maybe he knows what he's doing. And he knows more than these other teams, you know. But Zach did some research to what you would get, you know, if you did this. Like, for example, Miami trades up to the sixth. Gets a fifth, Philly gets down to 12, gets a fourth and a 2022 first. That's an interesting one. Saints go up to 11 from 16, and then Washington gets a three and a four. Arizona goes up to six from 12. The Lions get a two and a five.
Yeah.
But Arizona gets a three back. So those are some of the comps of, you know, possible moves. You know, look, I mean, more players is certainly big deal. And it's just, again, like how many guys do they think are really that level of player? Like, you can't pass it up. And if you went to 11, could you still get one? I mean, if so, that's like kind of best case scenario, but you know, I don't think like a Joe Alt is there anymore at that point.
Trent on the text line says, excluding the quarterback position, would you rather have one great player or four good players? This is from Trent on the text line. It's a good question. I mean,
that's a good question.
I think the answer to that also probably depends on the position. Like, I would take a great left tackle over four good players. I would take probably an elite wide receiver over four good players. That's just me. Like, if you can be elite at one of those really important foundational positions, I would probably still choose that.
Yeah, I think I agree, but man, this team really lacks for good players.
They do.
You plugged in four of them. You know, I think two or three is an easy answer. You get to four, and that's about the right question, right? Like, it's like, yeah, it's pretty difficult. But yeah, I think elite, you know, great. And like you said, if you have a great left tackle and now you know basically where you're going to be for 10 years at that spot, that's pretty valuable.
615-737-1025, our number. More of your thoughts coming up next on the Titans and the NFL draft on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. I got some tickets to give away a pair of tickets to see Dr. Jordan Peterson at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Friday, April 5th. Be caller 3, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Call the 3, we'll win. A pair of tickets to see Dr. Jordan Peterson at Bridgestone Arena on Friday, April 5th. Taking your thoughts on the Titans on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What would it take for you to consider moving back out of number 7? Another interesting part of this, Joe, is let's just assume that Joe Alt is like their guy and they want Joe Alt and they feel good about him being a foundational piece of their offensive line for the next 10 years. And then all of a sudden, either the Chargers at 5 or the Giants at 6 take him and he's gone. And your foundational player that you really wanted is gone to somebody, to somewhere else. You still obviously have a glaring need at left tackle that you're going to have to figure out, in my opinion, in the draft, because I just don't see the answer in free agency. So, if you're the Titans, how much does that test you and your board of Joe Alt was our guy, he's gone, and now, you know, maybe Adunze's there, Malik Nabers is there, and those are elite wide receivers, and the next highest rated tackle you have maybe isn't until like number 11 or 12 on the board. Like at that point, I hope if you're the Titans, you stick to your board and you get the receiver. Like I think there are some people that think there needs to be, even if you reach a little bit, a tackle taken at left tackle, or excuse me, at number 7 overall, because it's such a big need, and maybe the drop-off after an Alt or a Fashanu or a Fuaga is just massive after that. I still think, like, if Alt is gone and you have, let's say, Malik Nabers rated higher than you would a Fashanu or Fuaga, then I hope you take Malik Nabers if you're the Titans at that point. Like, you need to take, you know, this is such a cliche every year, but I think it's especially true when you have a pick this high. You need to take your best available player at that point.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. I also think, you know, in that scenario, you would be maybe a little bit more open to someone trying to come up and take your pick.
I agree.
But, you know, who knows if that would materialize. But, no, I'm absolutely with you. Again, it's a deep draft for both in terms of, like, how many receivers and tackles are viewed slash projected as, you know, certainly, you know, top 2-3 round players. So it's just like you may end up having a clump of tackles, you know, that you feel good about that you could get like in the second round. And, you know, you may like, again, it may be Alt is after all said and done, he's up here and then everybody else, then there's a gap, or maybe Fashanu. I mean, you know, who knows? I mean, this is kind of certainly interesting in terms of those guys too, you know, Alt, Fashanu, Fuaga, and, you know, the testing and the interviewing, all that stuff. I could see the case for Fashanu, you know, being a higher pick than Alt. You know, so if there is one guy who's then gone, and then it's a little bit, you know, a little bit more muddled, and yeah, you've got a chance to take a difference making receiver. Absolutely. I mean, you know, it comes down to it. I think probably like the sort of like more casual fan would be a lot more excited about a receiver. Not that that matters at all, but I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah.
Know, like the reaction that would probably be a little bit more exciting. I know some Titans fans are just sick of them constantly drafting offensive linemen, but they, you know, you kind of have to do that until you get it right.
How do you view Nabers and Adunze? Obviously, two guys that people feel really good about, and I've heard about both of them. You know, if they were in a year where Marvin Harrison Jr. wasn't in the draft, either one of them could be the number one receiver taken. How do you view the Nabers and Adunze part of this, and which one do you like better, Nabers or Adunze, heading into the draft?
You know, I don't have a great answer for that. I agree that they both seem like they could be wide receiver one in some years. You know, there's been some really great receiver drafts recently. But I don't know who I like better, to be honest with you. I watched a lot of Adunze late season because they were in the postseason. I think he's great. But Nabers is, I'd probably go Nabers. You know, I do think that Washington quarterback scheme and a bunch of other really good receivers. I mean, I know maybe I count this against people too often and shouldn't, you know, Joe Montana, for example. I just feel like a dunce, like it was really hard for defenses to deal with them as a whole.
Yeah.
And so I feel like there were a lot of times when I watched it, when he was just wide open at times. And it's like, it wasn't just because it was on him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas with Neighbors, great quarterback, won the Heisman, but I feel like a little higher level of competition week after week. You got like NFL first round corners and stuff. And I feel like he's just so explosive, quick. I think I would probably go with him. But, like, you know, this is I'm going to be very interested to see, you know, sort of how it all breaks down with more information. I think it's probably really close.
I think it's really – for sure, I think it's close. And honestly, if you ended up with either one of them, I think you'd be pretty happy if you're a Titans fan. I think I'd go Adunze slightly just because, number one, the size. He is a little bit bigger than Neighbors is. And number two, I do put stock into – and I can't remember who was talking about this, whether it was Corey yesterday or whether it was TD last week. But, like, making big plays in big moments. Like, I do put stock into that. And Adunze, time after time, made huge plays for Washington in the Oregon game, in the college football playoffs semifinal game. Like, he was elite, and he was really good at coming up with big plays in big moments and contested catches, all those things. So, again, I don't really think you could go wrong with either one of them. I think they're both going to be really good in the NFL. I'd probably lean slightly toward Adunze if it was me given the choice.
That's fair. I mean, it's really close. I've heard some people talk about, man, like it's, you know, like it's closer than you think with like the three of them.
Yeah.
I disagree.
I do too.
I really strongly disagree. And I think this is where I think sometimes at Ohio State, people can kind of be, yeah, you know, it's Ohio State. No, man, Marv is, he is ridiculous. Just everything that you're looking for in a receiver.
Yeah, so, and he's going to be a stud. And he, if things go the way that they're projected to go right now, he might go be catching passes from Kyler Murray. So hope he's up to date on Call of Duty as well.
That's right.
Kyler,
is there a new one? Is there a new episode?
There could be one coming out. New game,
new version. Yeah. Okay.
Kyler,
good to know.
Get out of the Xbox room. Marvin Harrison's here. You got to go throw passes to him. Come on, Kyler.
That's the underrated part of, you know, the Cardinals should have thought this out, because now they get another year of you making fun of Kyler Murray's video game fetish. You know, by them keeping him as their QB. They didn't think this through, man.
Kyler. The new Madden's not that good. Come out here and play real football. One of my favorite things in the history of the league. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Caroline Fenton. We'll get her thoughts on NFL Combine Week, her thoughts on the Predators, their 5-game winning streak, and a whole lot more. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.